What do you think of when you hear the word pilgrim? I think most of us, especially around Thanksgiving, hear the word pilgrim and we think of our congregational forebears, the English separatists who crossed the Atlantic on the Mayflower, the group that settled in Plymouth. For most of us, especially as Congregationalists, we hear pilgrim and we think Thanksgiving. But when we think of that kind of pilgrim, like the Scarlattas were addressed as at the door, what do you think? What kind of images does that bring up in your mind? There are some people who really have considered the pilgrims as kind of stained glass saints. There's a church out in Utica, New York, which was designed primarily as a shrine for the pilgrims. If you look up at the front of their sanctuary, there above the altar, are three tall stained glass windows. The center of their worship situation. And they depict the pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock. Another entire wall is covered with magnificent Tiffany windows, each one being 30 feet high, and they portray William Brewster delivering the first sermon in New England. His congregation is on their knees before him and is dressed somberly in gray and brown. Several men stand guard with muskets. And at the top, there are those sweet little Tiffany angels smiling approvingly from heaven. But others depict these pilgrim figures more darkly. Some think of the pilgrims and the Puritans as severe and austere, rigid, religious fanatics. Historian George Willison writes, they were fond of controversy and sharp of tongue, engaging in many a high-pitched quarrel with friends and foes alike. Another defines Puritanism as the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. But you know, the more we learn about the pilgrim people and the Puritans, they weren't all that sullen and sour. They wore bright clothing. They loved to listen to music, just not in church. The pilgrims thought the organ was the voice of the devil, and they found choirs quite distracting. Still, they weren't monks or nuns. They married early, and they married often, and they married late. And they produced lots of children. And they loved to drink. Especially beer. That's what they used their pumpkins for, not pumpkin pie. The pilgrims mixed the pumpkins and the parsnips and the walnut chips and they brewed pumpkin beer. Sounds terrible. The pilgrims were a people who were neither rigid fanatics nor stained glass saints. They were ordinary people with an extraordinary faith. They were like most of us on a pilgrimage. They were searching for truth, for a closer connection to God. So this Thanksgiving morning, let's take just a few of our moments together to think about what it means to be a pilgrim, both in the 1620s and today. To be a pilgrim means having the courage to act on your commitments. The Mayflower pilgrims' courage was clear when they left Holland. This little band, described by William Bradford as 70 men folk and women, 32 good children and 2 dogs. Those people had no illusions about the dangers that lay ahead of them. In this historic book of Plymouth Plantation, Bradford discloses the colonists' worst fears. He says their chances for survival seemed slim. It was too late in the year for an easy Atlantic crossing, and too late to plant crops. They had scanty supplies, and the men knew little about hunting or fishing. Pilgrims had the courage to go forward, no matter what it might cost. It took even greater courage, I think, to stay in Plymouth after they landed. During that first winter, as I think most of you know, conditions were far worse than everything that they could have imagined. There were great gray wolves whose howls terrorized the colonists at night. There was the great sickness. Over half of the pilgrims died. They buried their dead at night in unmarked graves so the Native Americans wouldn't know how weak they were getting. At one time, there were only 7 of the pilgrims who were well enough to tend to the sick. And yet, to me, the amazing thing is that in spite of that terrible winter and all that death surrounding them, none of the survivors returned to England on the Mayflower in the spring. They all had the opportunity, but not one went back. As the Mayflower sailed over the horizon, the pilgrims stood on that shore and they wept. Few expected to live until the ship returned. The pilgrims were people who had the courage to act on their commitments, no matter what. Do we? Sociologist Robert Bala once said, "We should not underestimate the significance of the small group of people who have a new vision of a just and gentle world. The quality of a culture may be changed when 2% of its people have a new vision and act on it." We're more than 2%. Why don't we have a greater effect, we who call ourselves Christians? Why don't we have an influence on the issues like caring for this earth, on care and justice for the needy, on our quality of life? Could it be that we need more courage to act on our commitments? For to be a pilgrim means to stand up for what you believe, no matter what. To be a pilgrim also means sharing what you have, turning thanks into giving. The pilgrim colonists willingly shared all they had. During their first 3 years, out of sheer necessity, the community held all property in common. At one point, they were down to about 5 kernels per day for food. Still, they divided the corn kernels equally. And that original group of 50 that survived that first winter shared their limited food with the 60 newcomers who arrived in the spring. One of their finest moments came in 1623. At the first real Thanksgiving, the small colony gathered with the Native Americans from the area for 3 days of celebration and Thanksgiving. There was eating and drinking and wrestling and foot races. It was the pilgrims' way of saying thank you to God and to the Native Americans who had helped them to survive. To be a pilgrim means sharing and turning our thanks into giving. I don't think any of us here need to ask ourselves how thankful we should be. We have a lot to be thankful for. Much more than the pilgrims, don't we? I came across a statistic, the World Bank put out, and it estimated at this Thanksgiving time that if only 2% of the world's food, only 2% of the world's food was diverted from wealthy nations like ours to poor nations, everyone on our planet would have an adequate diet. Isn't that incredible? 2% shift in food could wipe out world hunger. Most of us waste more than that. To be a pilgrim is to share and to turn this sense of appreciation and thanksgiving into doing for others. Recognizing what God has already given us. Finally, and maybe most importantly, to be a pilgrim is to travel hopefully toward the future, trusting God to fulfill God's promises. The Plymouth colonists saw themselves on a pilgrimage. Pilgrims were not prisoners of the past. They looked forward with hope to the future, believing that through God's goodness, the best was yet to come. They gave up the familiarity of England for Holland because the English church resisted Reformation. They left the comfort of Holland and the religious tolerance of Holland for the New World because their children were assimilating into the Dutch way. They sought a homeland in what Cotton Mather called the howling wilderness of New England, believing that God would fulfill God's promises and somehow use their pain, somehow use their suffering to produce good. They believed, as William Bradford put it, their condition was not ordinary. Their ends were good and honorable. Their calling was lawful and urgent. And that therefore they would receive the blessings of God, which they did. The pilgrims traveled hopefully, with faith in the future. Do we believe that if we work and if we struggle and if we sacrifice, this church can be even better than it already is? There's power when we live not tied to the past, but as those passing through life as pilgrims, looking forward to and struggling for the kingdom God has promised us. To be a pilgrim is to have the courage of our convictions, to turn our thanks into giving and to cling to God's promise that the best is yet ahead of us. There's real power in that kind of pilgrim faith. Power to build a new society. If we have that kind of faith, I really wonder, what might we do?